Can people hear me? Good. Well, good morning. It's a cold morning, isn't it? How many of you had to stand and scrape the ice off your cars before you could get here? And you never allowed for additional time to do that. So I'm sure that many people arrived at church a bit late this morning. All over the country, probably, because evidently the ice is... I thought I'd carry on wearing my scarf. And when I thought I'd do that, it reminded me of something that happened in the 1980s. As John has said, I'm from Annsville Baptist Church, and we had some Americans come and visit us in the 1980s. And it was just following us having John Wimber at the church. How many of you heard know John Wimber? Yeah, quite a few of you, and he had quite an impact on this country. In fact, he was here in Manchester quite a lot. But he sent another group of teams to Annsville Baptist Church, and when they came, they were wearing scarves like this, you see. And of course, on the first meeting, there was this tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit and healings and everything. So guess what? All the young people like me went out and bought scarves, and because we thought there was something in the scarf. And of course there wasn't, because there was nobody that was laying hands on it like Paul laid hands on the handkerchiefs. But it just brought that to mind when I was thinking about that. I've been at Annsville Baptist Church since 1971, although for the first few years I was going there drunk. I was in business, and I was managing director of a public company, but I used to drink at least a bottle of vodka a day to keep me going. It was quite a miracle, really, that I was able to manage this big company and drink the way that I did. So I didn't end up in the gutter, but I was just the same as those that were in the gutter. And it was out of that experience, I've not got time to tell you about the amazing thing that God did in my life, but it was a miracle. There's no doubt in my mind it was a miracle. And because I knew that God, there was a God and he had done something in my life, I went searching after this God, but I never seemed to be able to communicate with him at all. You know, whenever I prayed, it was like praying to a ceiling. You know, nothing seemed to go beyond that. And one of the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, step 11, it says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And I thought to myself, I want that, but I want to communicate with God so that I can do that. And then I remembered that when I was about 10 and 11 years old, I used to go to sing in the choir in my local Anglican church. My mum sent me, because I used to get 10 shillings every quarter, and so as soon as I had this 10 shilling note, she would take it from me, my mum. But I remembered that every prayer finished through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it was then that I actually went and sought after this Jesus person, and consequently in 1974 became a Christian. And that was an amazing experience as well. You know, some people experience conversion in all sorts of different ways. For me, every encounter with God has been an amazing encounter. I continue to have amazing encounters every day. I will have an amazing encounter today. This is why I love coming and doing this stuff. And one of the things that I discovered is that you can never outgive God. I will say things which will hopefully benefit you here today, and guess what? It will benefit me as well. And already I can sense that just by the things that I'm saying already, is because that's the kind of God that we serve. He's so loving and caring, and that says in Luke chapter 6, given it will be given unto you, poured out into your lap until it overflows. Well, that's happening to me all the time. Which is why I just wanted to share a few things with you this morning. When Rick phoned me up and he says, look, I'm not able to go down to Salford, or nearly said Manchester then, go to Salford, he said, would you do it for me? And I've been looking at 2 Chronicles and the glory of God, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I can go and share some of that. But then when I got home from London last night, the Lord said no. And he gave me a word about hunger, being hungry and thirsty after him. So I want to share with you a bit this morning about that, about being hungry and thirsty after Jesus Christ. And to me, it's one of the things that should be continually with us. We should always be hungry and thirsty after more. And I think, you know, when we look at Christianity in the UK, it's one of the sad things that we see is that people seem to get into a place of relationship with God and they're satisfied with that position. I've never ever been satisfied. You know, when I got converted, my pastor, who actually led me to the Lord, was Nigel Wright, who's now the principal of Spurgeon's College. You know, when he said to me, he led me to Christ, and then he said, go home, read the Gospel of John, and whatever you do, don't read Revelation. Guess what? I went home and read Revelation because I wanted to have more, you see. And that's what I'm like. And I just wish that every Christian, especially in the UK, was like that. You know, just wanting more and more. Having this hunger and thirst. So hopefully what I'm bringing you today is not a sermon. You know, there's a difference between a sermon and a message. You know, a sermon is something that you can kind of work out. You know, I've got loads of sermons on my computer. I could have just picked something off and come. But a message is something that comes out of a communication that you're having with God. And so hopefully what you get today is a message. So I'm bringing a message. And what I'm also sensing is it's a message to move this church on. I know very little about you. I can remember meeting John and praying for a few people from this church when you came up to Ansdell. But I know very little about it. But you know, as I've been thinking and praying, I feel quite excited for you. I think that 2008, and a lot of people... Could I have some water, please, John? 2008... was the year of breakthroughs. A lot of the prophetic people were saying that, and they were coming up with reasons as to why it's the year of breakthrough. But we're coming to the end of it now. And I think that we have broken through. I just have a sense that this church here has broken through. When I went to bed, I went to bed really late last night, but I kept waking up, and I had this dream. Or maybe it was a vision, I don't know, because I was going to sleep and waking up again. But I saw these motorbikes on a road, and it was a motorway or whatever it was. And there were these, probably about 200 motorbikes. And they kept coming and going off of this road. And they were all, some people had crash hats on, and some people didn't, and some people had really good suits on, you know, for the right thing from riding motorbikes. And I said to the Lord, what is that? And I just had a sense, you know, what he was saying is it's you as the church. That you're on the road, but some of you haven't got the right gear on. You've not got the right clothing on. And, you know, maybe, you know, out of what I have to say today, you can kind of think about that. And think, am I one of the people that's on the road, and have I got all the right equipment for riding a fast motorbike on a motorway? Am I the person... Somebody's saying, oh, I'd never get me on a motorbike. But I'm talking about being in relationship with God and going on and fulfilling his plans and purposes for you. But you see, we can't do it on our own. We have to do it collectively as the body of Christ. And this is why Jesus said, go and build my church. You're part of the church here. And I just sense that whereas you're on the road and you're on the way, that there are some things that you need to do so that this army of bikers are kind of speeding along the motorway or the road and fulfilling the purpose. So it's about moving on. 2 Corinthians 18 says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect or contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness. Not just like that, but with ever increasing glory. It's a process by which we're moving on. And we're all in that place. But, which it comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Philippians 3:12, you know, which is one of my
best scriptures. I just love it. It's where Paul talks about his imperfection. Not that I have already been made perfect. He's trying to attain to that perfection. He said, but I forget what is behind and I press on towards the goal, which is heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Pressing on towards the goal. And you know, if you hear nothing else, I mean, if I go now, you could take that as the message, that you press on towards the goal. Where is it? It's heavenwards in Christ Jesus. It's having relationship with Him and working with Him. You know, I've been so blessed that throughout my Christian life, because I've met some amazing Christian leaders. I knew John Wimber very well. The whole kind of vineyard movement actually started when a young man called Lonnie Frisbee stood up on Mother's Day in, I think it was 1978, in a little place called Yorba Linda in America, and all he did was say, "Come, Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit came, and John Wimber, who had about 2,000 people in his church, ended up with 2,000 people on the floor. Now, John hadn't seen any of that before, but that was the start of the Vineyard Movement. And what, if any of you know about the history of the Vineyard Movement, they're in something like 100 countries now. Thousands of people within the body of Christ. But I actually stayed with this young man, as he was then, Lonnie Frisbee, stayed with him in his house. I saw amazing miracles. I saw a young 7-year-old girl who didn't have any eyeballs, had glass eyes in. And when Lonnie prayed for her, she started to scream. Why did she scream? Because the eyes started to grow behind the glass, and the glass was causing her pain. In 3 months, she had 2 brand new eyes. So I count it a real privilege to have actually experienced some of that, you know, kind of walk with some of these people. And then, you know, I met Todd Bentley, that is, who I'm sure many of you will know of Todd Bentley, and how God is using him, or has used him, and is still using him, incidentally. But you're actually meeting that guy. You know, he put his hand on my stomach, and all he said was one word, Kratos. I didn't even know what that meant. He put his hand on my stomach, Kratos, and walked away. And I felt, as he did it, something exploded in my stomach. And I just felt so different after that. When I started to minister to people and to pray to people, I could see things actually happening in a greater way. Kratos, incidentally, I did find out what it is. It's another Greek word for power. Where we have dunamis, which is like dynamite. One of the other Greek words is Kratos. It has a slightly different context. So, you know, I feel personally that it's, you know, I've had an amazing walk and continue to do that. But I want more. Do you know why? Because God wants to give us more. He wants to give me more. He wants to give you more. There's more. There's always more. We're never in the place of perfection, which is why Paul says that. Not that I have already been made perfect, but press on towards the goal, which is heavenwards in Him. So what I want to talk about is hungering and thirsting after God. What does it mean to hunger and thirst? How many of you have ever been really, really hungry? Or really, really thirsty? So you know what it's like to be hungry, you know, to not have any food at all. I went on a really long fast on one occasion, and I thought I would try and see how long I could go without water, without any drink at all. And I can remember at the end of 48 hours, I just had to have something to drink. So when I, you know, you kind of see some of these films and you see people walking in a desert and so on, you think to yourself, well, you know, when you're craving for something like that. And you know, when Jesus talks about, and we're going to have a look at that scripture in a minute, about hungering, it's about having this great appetite for. So thirst, what is it to thirst? Having an eager craving or a longing or a yearning. And it's an important element, I think, to actually thirst. If we're only going to continue to walk and do the things that Jesus said that we would do out of our intimacy with Him. If we look at all that God has been doing over the last 10 years, to me, everything that I've observed, it's about breaking down the barriers between us and God and releasing us into that deep, intimate place with him. You know, it just amazes me sometimes when I'm reading the Bible and Jesus, looking at the ministry of Jesus, how the intimate relationship that he has is just quite amazing. I don't, you read the story about when Martha and Mary come to him and say, hey, your best friend Lazarus is dying. And I could just read that story, and you can just imagine him having a chat with his heavenly dad and saying, well, he's my best friend, do I rush off and heal him? But no, there was this dialogue that was going on that said, no, you don't do that yet, he's going to actually die. And sometimes when I've read that story, I thought, oh, I wish I could have that kind of communication with God. And it's something I think that that God is kind of pushing the body of Christ to today. In Psalm 63, verse 1, David says, and incidentally it was when he was in the desert of Judah, he says, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you. There he is in the desert, thirsting, hungering after God. What does soul mean? What does it mean? You know, a lot of people, we quote this word soul, a lot of people don't know what the soul is. Well, the soul is our will, our emotions and our mind. So when we're hungering and thirsting after God, this is how we should do it. Our whole body should be wanting more of Jesus into our lives, inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment experience. I think that today we are in such a significant time. You know, all of these experiences that I and many others are having, I think are nothing. I'm actually preaching at my own church at the end of the year, the last sermon of the year. And when I said to the Lord, you know, what shall I be talking about? He just gave me the words that I've got to kind of think about, and that's expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it, John? Expect the unexpected. So often, you see, when somebody comes up to pray for us when we're sick, we hope that God's going to heal us. We should expect that God's going to heal us, because God wants us to be well. He doesn't want us to be sick. That's another thing that I've been blessed with. You know, we've actually got healing rooms up at Anstall that my friend and David Atkinson and I started 3-4 years ago now. And we go with the expectancy that we set this up so that God could come and heal people. Guess what? He heals people. Not everybody. We've got big question marks as to why God doesn't heal people. But we expect him to do it because that's what the Word of God says. So we're in these significant times. Before I actually became a Christian, I knew the Lord's Prayer. And when I was in times of despair, I used to lie on the bed and just say the Lord's Prayer. I didn't know what I was meaning, but God did. And sometimes, you know, we can get answers just by praying that prayer. But other times we need to have an understanding of what it is that we're praying. And, you know, we can pray that the kingdom of God will come, but unless there's some action with it, it may never happen in our through our own lives. So it's important that that we continue to hunger and thirst. I mean, have you ever longed for something, really yearned for it? You know, when I was thinking about that, I thought to myself, well, there's this saying, isn't there? To do that or to have that, I would get rid of my right arm. A saying. You know, I think to have more and more of God in our lives and more of the presence of the Spirit of God and walking hand in hand with Jesus, we really need to come to that place where we're so longing for that that we see it unfolding in our lives on a day-by-day basis. Not just on a Sunday. You know, a lot of people, I think, make that big mistake. You know, they come to church on a Sunday and then when it's all over, you know, they go home and you know, you get the chicken out of the oven. And by the way, if you put chickens in the oven, they may be burnt today. No. I've got to be careful. You know, when you get into speaking, especially to new different churches, you know, you tend to get into telling stories But of course, then you do, and you end up going home, and you think, goodness me, I didn't actually give them the message. All I did was tell stories. So I'm trying to not to go there. So when you first became a Christian, did you ache, did you yearn, desire for all of your being to know the one that saved you and brought you into relationship with him? Can you remember the time when you actually made that step and committed your life to following after Jesus Christ? Was there a time when you said, yes, I've got to have more of this? I remember when I was baptized, Nigel Wright, the pastor, said, oh, don't expect anything at all. You know, you just go in the water and come out and, you know, and that's it. And that was it. I didn't feel anything at all. And I thought, oh, well, he's right. But I thought to myself, why didn't I feel anything? And then when I thought about what the experience of that, I thought, I should be feeling something. I am in this different place with you, God. And I can remember I was stood with another guy getting out of my wet clothes, thinking this, and suddenly I just burst into tears. And I thought, what's happening to me? And it was God obviously doing something in my life. Where did that come? It came from a yearning to have an experience of God at that particular time. So, guess what? He met with us. And I think one of the dangers is if we're not hungering and thirsting, then we could be coming in the place. And it really does concern me when I observe the church here in the UK that we could be like the Laodicean church. You know, I don't want to be spewed out. I want to be blessed by God. And I think that I really am excited. I think next year is going to be a great year of coming into a great relationship. So what I want to look at from the Bible is Matthew 5. You know, this whole Sermon on the Mount, as they call it. I've actually been to that place a couple of times now where Jesus actually gave that message, sermon. And in 5 verse 6 he says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So I wonder what he meant by righteousness. You know, the old word for that was right wiseness. I've got the Greek word actually written down, but I can spell it out for you, but I can't actually say it. But it actually meant that, and it was a character of quality. But it was righteousness is also an attribute of God. So it's hungering and thirsting for it to be an attribute of God, taking that upon yourself, an attribute of God. Well, surely that must be something that's worthy of doing. You know, through all of that particular scripture, there are many things that Jesus says that we can be blessed by doing. But to me, always one of the key ones was to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Why? Because then we will be filled. God wants us to have a greater hunger and thirst after Jesus. Jesus is the righteous one, and therefore, when we seek him and his righteousness, we become more like him. And the righteousness that is on him then falls upon us. One of my other great blessings is I'm a trustee of Revival Fires in Dudley. I don't know how many of you actually heard of Revival Fires, but Dudley was where Trevor Baker, you know, he got Todd Bentley over here, and he was over at Lakeland, and you know, we had meetings there after the Lakeland thing every night. The first one, there were 1,500 people there. It was just absolutely amazing to see some of the things that God did on that particular night. But the reason I'm just mentioning that is that one time I was there and I actually saw an angel come up, and the angel was dressed in a white robe and it had gold threads running through it. And I saw this angel take it off. Believe it or not, there was another white robe under the one the angel took it over. And he went up to this person and actually put it on this person. And anyway, cut a long story short, eventually I got around to communicating with this person, and the what I'd seen. And they'd just started a ministry that demanded of them to have a pure heart and have been in a right place with God. And so it was quite significant for them to actually experience that. But it was the robe of righteousness. That's what God said to me it was. So let's open the Bible and just read through Matthew chapter 5. I was saying to the lady over there, we were talking about the fact that this church, you know, come from the roots of the brethren. We were saying how important it is and how many good things have come out of the brethren movement because they were so rooted in the word. And, you know, one of the big, well, it's supposed to be a joke, I suppose, is when preachers come in, you know, and they say, will you open your Bible? And if you haven't got your Bible, I assume that you've remembered it all. You know, but there's a guy called Bobby Connor, and I was just saying he does carry his Bible around him, but you can just ask him anything about the Bible and he seems to know it. You never see him actually, when he's standing up preaching, he never seems to open his Bible. He just speaks the word. Why? Because it dwells within him. And that's so important for us to know the word of God. So Matthew chapter 5, let's read it all through for a moment before I comment on it. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How great is that? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. As I said, I've been to this place a couple of times, and to actually sit there and read this scripture is quite amazing, really. I don't know how many of you have actually been to Israel, but if you haven't been, save your money up and go, because it's a well worth experience to actually go there. I can't explain why it is that you can go to the Western Wall and put your hand on the wall and actually have this amazing experience of God, but you do. Or if you go to where Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount there and actually read that scripture and actually have an amazing experience of God, I don't know, but you do. So it'd be a good thing if you do that. So let me just make a few comments, if I can, about this particular sermon that Jesus said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Does it mean to be filled? Is it a fulfillment and desires of our hearts? Are we going to be half filled or half empty? Are we going to be filled to the top? I think we're going to be filled, but we have to hunger and thirst after it for us to be filled. You know, sometimes we, you know, when there is a ministry time going on and people are being prayed for, you know, we kind of stand back and observe and see what's going on. And then we wonder why, you know, in 2 weeks' time we see people and they're going and they're full of joy and they're in a really deep relationship with God. And we say, why am I not like that? And what we've done is that we stood back from that particular situation rather than just stepping in and being in the place where God wants us, hungering and thirsting after more of Him. You know, I remember in the early days when Toronto happened, you know, and there was all this stuff going out about, you know, it was demons and, you know, people were roaring and where is that in the Bible and all. I don't know why people get into all of that stuff. I just went to Toronto and I stood there and I thought, well, what's different about this? I've seen all of this. I've been prayed for and fallen on the floor and I've had demons cast. I've done all of that. What's different? Shall I tell you what was different after I came back? I was more in love with Jesus than I'd ever been before. That was it. I mean, to have that, it was worth £350 to go there. And I don't know why it was. I don't know why I had to go to Toronto and experience that. I don't know why I couldn't do it in my, you know, my own prayer room. I've experienced God there. I don't know why I did that. But I did. So it was worth £300 to go and do it, you see. So if I had to go to Lakeland, I didn't in actual fact go, but if I had to, and to be more in love with Jesus, I would do it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is righteousness? It's Jesus. He's the Holy One. He is the righteous one. He is the one that we should be seeking. Intimacy, relationship with Him, constantly on our mind. Not on a Sunday, but constantly on our minds. Every moment of the day, we should be wanting to hold on. I was talking to one of my grandchildren about this. She was asking me a few things about Jesus, and I said, well, just imagine that every moment of the day Jesus has got a hold of your hand and he's walking with you. And after I'd said it, I thought to myself, that's a pretty good message for me. Just imagine it, that all the time you're holding on to his hand. I always felt, you know, as I say, when I read the stories, that Jesus had that kind of relationship with his dad. And that's probably why he went and sat at his right hand, so that he could hold on to his right hand. So today he sat holding on to Father God's right hand in heaven. And the word also says that that's where we are. Where are we? We're seated in heavenly places today. So we can have that experience. So it's not doom and gloom, but it's a message of hope and of expectancy. 2 Peter 3:13 says, and I think again this is an amazing scripture, but in keeping with his promise we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. So be hungry and thirsty now. Not wait until the time comes and we're actually in the home of righteousness. Be righteous now. Let us be in that place now. Lord, I hunger and thirst after you. I want to have a radical encounter with you. In every situation. It doesn't have to be, you know, shooting off to a different part of the world. It doesn't necessarily have to be going into your prayer closet. You can have it right now, where you're sat right now. Have that encounter. You can have it when you walk out of the door. You can have it when you're talking to your friend over the fence. You can have it all the time. So why do we need this? Why do we need to have this? And some of you may be thinking, how do I get this hunger and thirst that he's talking about? Remember the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. That's how you have it. It's about loving him. But why have I spent this time talking to you about this, about being hungry and thirsty? See, it's because the first commandment is loving the Lord your God with all your heart. But then Jesus goes on and ties it in with loving your neighbour as well. And I believe, you know, that God is bringing us into this deep, intimate relationship with him, causing us to be hungry and thirsty for the reason of going out there and being out there. John prophesied, and I thought that was absolutely spot on. But what he was saying, what God is saying to you as a church, it's not about you in here, it's about those out there. Because that's where we need to take the new life that has been put in us. We need to take it out there. Out of our rewards of intimacy, and burning bush experiences and all of the experiences that we have, we mustn't just be kind of looking for more experiences. What we experience, we need to use. We need to go out and, you know, be taking cheese sandwiches out and feeding the poor. And I'm sure you'll have a few poor in Salford somewhere. You know, and seeing the cheese sandwiches change into, you know, like steak sandwiches. Wouldn't that be something amazing? I believe, you see, that God is just going to do something quite astounding in these days ahead. We're going to have radical encounters. You know, as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, as you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're walking in that, then God will use you. You know, so often we read that scripture about Peter's shadow, and we say, oh, that's great. Why shouldn't you? You see, it wasn't his shadow at all. It was God's presence that was touching the people and healing them. And God's presence can be in you and I in just the same way as it was with Peter. Do you know, I think it's Rick Joyner that says, we can have the same experience with God that anybody that we read about in the Bible, including Jesus, we can have the same experience. Just think about that. What a wonderful thing that we can have that same experience. So you can be a Peter. You can walk out of this church today, filled with the Holy Spirit, wanting to work the works of the kingdom. You can walk out here and it will happen for you. You know, I was talking to you about Lonnie Frisbee. Lonnie Frisbee, you know, when I used to sit in his... I picked up his Bible, and there wasn't a page that wasn't, like, dog-eared. He actually ate the Word of God. So he was fed by that, you see. And he was... Lonnie was always seeking after more. And, you know, I just had a sense as we came in here of people weeping out there. I just sense that there is so much need out there. And I don't know anything about Salford. I mean, I know about some of the other churches here, and I've met some of the pastors around here over the years. But I just had a sense of people weeping out there. Such a desperate need. You know, and I don't know whether that's the hungry or the poor, or whether you're surrounded by drug addicts and alcoholics. And probably all of that is part of what's going on in Salford. But it's only going to change by the power of God and the love of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, when people followed after Jesus, they followed after him because they saw the signs and the wonders. You know, and John the Baptist said, you know, passed one of his disciples out, and he said, are you the Christ? And he said, well, what's happening? You know, there's all these miracles, there's all of these signs. He came to show himself as to who he is. And this is what it says in Philippians as well, that we've got to go out and be stars that are shining in the darkness. One thing I'm sure of, there is some darkness out there, and we have to go and shine the light. I would just ask at this stage, I'm going to ask you all, just don't do it at the moment, I'm going to ask you all to stand, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray a prayer out of Ephesians over you. I just felt that I should just pray that prayer. And after we've done that, what I'd like you to do, as I'm praying it, just dwell on and communicate with God and say, am I one of these people that need to be in a place where I'm carrying the robe of righteousness more than I am at this particular time, using the power of the Holy Spirit in my life more than what I am at this particular point in time? And if you are, after I've prayed this prayer, I just want you to come and just either stand in the front here or stand over here. And myself and John and Michelle and the pastor and any of the elders, we'll just pray for you. I just feel, you know, that this is an opportunity for you. We're coming up to the end of a breakthrough year. I have a sense that many of you have broken through certain things this year. But 2009, I think, is a year when we're going to be pushed out. I think it was Mark Stibbe that talks a lot about 2008 being the year of the breakthrough. But also, it was God said to him, "What is it that you don't understand about the word go?" You know, in Matthew 10, when Jesus sent the disciples, he said, "Go. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons." In Matthew 28, it says, "Go into all the world." There's your world out there. And I believe, you know, that it's not that we've got to have something special. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about John. We can all have it, but we have to have this hunger and thirst after more of God. And he can hold on to, as you're laying hands on somebody that is in a wheelchair, if you're holding on to God's hand, that power will get that person out of the wheelchair. I've seen it happen, and I just want more of that as well. So if I could just ask you to stand, please, and I'm going to pray this prayer. And then, as I say, when I finished, if you feel that you would like to be in a deeper, more intimate place with God, so that the power that flows from God's right hand will flow through you and touch others, so that you can go from this place. And you know, there's a woman here in here, and one of your neighbours, you've had a real sense that one of your neighbours, it's another woman, she's either sick or but she's in a real desperate state, and you've been hesitant about actually offering to pray for her. I just feel that if you do pray for her, that woman's life is going to be transformed. And just as I'm saying that, there are a number of other people here that you've been hesitant about actually offering the love of God to people because you felt inadequate. And I just feel that today, that if you come forward and you just receive a touch from God today, that you will go from this place and things will start to be different. But we have to continue to be hungry and thirsty. So Father, I just pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that as I pray this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, as I pray for Mount Chapel here, Lord, I pray, God, that it would be your power that would reside in these words. So I pray, Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you at Mount Chapel the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, every one of you here in this room, called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Amen. So if there's anybody comes forward, and if the children come in, I just have a sense that there's a couple of the children, as I was sat there before, I just sense that there's some of the children that that we may pray, especially Michelle. I just sense that Michelle is carrying something here for some of the children this morning. So if you feel that maybe one of your children is sick or is in need of a touch from God, as the children come in, we'll just pray for them as well. Could we just have some music?